As we join you this evening, Pope Benedict XVI is concluding his visit to the United Nations in New York. It is the fourth papal visit to the UN, following those of Paul VI in 1965 and John Paul II in 1979 and 1995. On his arrival, the Holy Father was greeted personally by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who said the mission of the Pope and the mission of the United Nations converge.
Your Holiness, welcome to our common home. The United Nations is a secular institution composed of 192 states. We have 6 official languages, but no official religion. We do not have a chapel, though we do have a meditation room. But if you ask those of us who work for the United Nations what motivates us, many of us reply in a language of faith. We see what we do not only as a job, but as a mission. Indeed, mission is the word we use most often for our work around the world, from peace and security to development and human rights. Your Holiness, in so many ways, our mission unites us with yours.
Pope Benedict then delivered a keynote address to the UN General Assembly in French and English, in which he said the United Nations embodies the aspiration for a greater degree of international ordering.
Through the United Nations, states have set out universal objectives, which, even if they do not fully coincide with the well-being of the human family, nevertheless represent a fundamental part of it. The founding principles of the organization, the desire for peace,
le sens
the
de la justice,
sense of justice,
le respect de la dignité de la personne,
the dignity of the individual, and cooperation and humanitarian assistance are the expression of just aspirations of the human spirit and represent the ideals which must underlie international relations.
During his address, Pope Benedict also highlighted the 60th anniversary of the Declaration of Human Rights. He said human rights guarantee the safeguarding of human dignity, but cautioned that the international cooperation was threatened because it is still subordinated to the decisions of a small number.
The promotion of human rights remains the most effective strategy for eliminating inequalities between countries and social groups and for increasing security. Indeed, the victims of hardship and despair, whose human dignity is violated with impunity, become easy prey to the call to violence, and they can then become violators of peace. The common good that human rights help to accomplish cannot, however, be attained merely by applying correct procedures, nor even less by achieving a balance between competing rights. The merit of the Universal Declaration is that it has enabled different cultures, juridical expressions, and institutional models to converge around a fundamental nucleus of values and hence of rights.
Archbishop Celestino Migliore is the permanent observer for the Holy See at UN headquarters in New York. Earlier, he spoke to Vatican Radio's Director of English Programming, Sean Patrick Lovett, who is on the ground in New York, about whether the Catholic Church is being heard by the international community today.
Well, the Church is held in consideration, above all, for its contribution to maintain alive and nourish spirituality and transcendence, without which society fragments. In addition, its message, based on universal fraternity, reconciliation, proximity with man and nature, makes it a natural ally in dialogue and cooperation for development. UN agencies, funds, and programs that operate in the fields of education, development, humanitarian assistance, maintain a relationship of collaboration with the local churches, also present in the most remote corners of the earth.
And Sean Patrick Lovett joins us live now from New York. Good evening, Sean.
Hello, Emma, and good evening to all our listeners.
Sean, now you are there at the press center in New York. In the run-up to this address, there had been widespread speculation in the media about the content of the Pope's address to the United Nations. So far, how has it been received there?
Well, you're quite right, Ema. Yes, as usual, the speculation was going in a completely different direction. The expectations were that the Holy Father would touch on specific areas of the world, that he'd be critical, that he would make harsh statements regarding certain governments and how they're dealing with specific geopolitical situations. Instead, we heard none of that at all. His discourse was far more articulated, far more macrocosmic view of human rights as a whole. Picking up from John Paul II's speech in 1995, that family of nations concept, and moving that into recognizing the unity of the human family and then responsibility to protect human dignity and human rights. What was particularly interesting was how he wove that concept of human rights into protecting religious freedom, and that wonderful phrase, it should never be necessary to deny God in order to enjoy one's rights. In other words, rights are universal if they have a God dimension.
Now, Sean, Pope Benedict XVI's visit to the United Nations today marks the beginning of the second leg of his journey to the United States. He arrived in New York this morning from Washington. How has the city welcomed him so far, and what lies ahead of the Pope during his stay in New York?
It was very quick, of course. He arrived at JFK. He was picked up by a helicopter and flew him into the center of the city, and he went to the United Nations. At breakfast this morning, I heard some New Yorkers saying they didn't even know he was going to be in town. It's all been happening above their heads. But later today, as he moves into the second part of the visit to the city, things will start heating up, because he does go to the afternoon, and then he has an ecumenical meeting, and of course tomorrow and then Sunday with the Ground Zero visit, which everybody is looking forward to, and the mass at Yankee Stadium. So if you look at the local newspaper here, lots of color photographs, a lot of curiosity, a lot of interest to meet and see who Benedict XVI is. If I may, you know, on a lighter note, we've been talking about lots of very serious and heavy things, but the Americans have a wonderful sense of humor. So there are columns in some of the local papers here in New York telling you what to do, what not to do. Of the things you're advised not to do is, if you meet the Pope, don't slap him on the back, kiss his ring, and don't offer him anything to eat, because the Pope doesn't eat in public.
Well, indeed, there are words of advice for anyone who is likely or not to run into Pope Benedict XVI, who, we remind our listeners, is on the second leg of his eighth apostolic voyage to the United States and America, arriving today in New York. Thank you very much, Sean.